Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
We're live from the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Plenty to get to. Players are in the building for the first time. The offseason program is underway this week. The Jags locker room was open to the media yesterday. A few others spoke to the media on Tuesday, including head coach Gus Bradley. The schedule has been released. That's the first time we'll get a chance to kind of chime in on that, and plenty to talk about around the National Football League as well. Good afternoon, guys. What's up?
What's happening, JP? Right. Schedule's out.
Yeah. What do you think, first off?
Well, first of all, I was anxiously awaiting to see how our lottery went. You know, we all had a little spot on our grease board over
it was
here.
Awful. Lottery's too strong a word.
Which, you know, we predict the schedule, yes. Right? You got one gimme, which is the Bills game in London.
So we all got that right.
And so we all you had to fill in the remaining 15 spots and see how many you got right. Yeah. And the high winner was you, JP. Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
You got three of them correct out of the 15.
No, I got two.
No, I got the Buffalo
I
game.
I got three.
Too. Yeah, that's three.
He got
the
three.
Counts as three. The London game
he
counts.
He started.
Right?
Yeah.
No, we got the if you count Buffalo, we got three.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got three counting Buffalo.
We all got two.
Yeah.
I mean, we got
we
one.
We all got two.
We got one.
So I win. What do you think? How about schedule? Three-game road trip, three different back-to-back at least road trips for this team, and at one point, one game in a stretch of 59 games at 59 days at Everbank Field, but two games at home to start the year, four out of five after that long stretch away are here at home as well.
Well, I mean, if the first impression of the schedule is that, you know, to me, a good schedule and that you're not traveling a ton this year, you know, unlike years past.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the London game.
Furthest west is Houston.
Right. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's the first thing that I look for. And I think a lot of players look at that, too. I mean, because, I mean, as a player, I remember, you know, first thing you wanted to know is, okay, you know, do we have to go to San Diego? Do we have to go to Oakland, San Francisco? Those places you didn't want to go to. Seattle. You didn't want to go to any of them places. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think it's good. But there are a couple stretches to where, you know, there's a long time between home games. But I like having a young team having back-to-back home games to start the year out against teams that I don't think are all that great. I mean, Carolina is a playoff team, but they made the playoffs with a very poor record. The Miami Dolphins, I think there's a lot of questions about the Miami Dolphins right now. So, I mean, it's a good way to maybe start the season fast with those two opponents at home.
I agree with Jeff there. I think, you play good football, you can be 2-0. What I don't like is the three different times you have consecutive, one time it's three in a row road games.
Mm-hmm. And which one of them is a home game that's in London.
You go three in a row on the road, mm-hmm. home game, London, bye week, two more on the road, a couple home games, one away game, and then finish the season, two on the road. And the only reason I don't like it, as a player, I never bought, oh, gosh, we got to play two in a row on the road. I mean, by the game, it's not like baseball or the NBA where you leave home for 10 days and you don't go back at all. I mean, you go on the road, you come home. I mean, it's a one-day deal. It's not that big a deal. I just think as a fan, you go long stretches without seeing your team at home. And I think that makes it not as fun.
You think about what the Jaguars have to contend with here. There's the London game. There's always going to be a bit of a hole because of that. It's a home game.
Sure.
That's away from here. You can't play on Halloween weekend because it's Florida-Georgia weekend. You'd rather not. I think they try to block that off the schedule. Or New Year's Day because of the Tax Slayer Bowl now. So there's a few, and the bye week is after the London game. So those are four dates that can't have a game here, you know? So you're kind of stuck at the mercy of the schedule makers that you have
here,
to
here's the thing,
yourself.
JP. Yeah. Ignore the schedule.
Okay.
Is the team playing well or not?
That's right.
Okay? Because
it's a week-to-week
does anybody care what the schedule is if they've got a good football team that's getting better?
No.
No.
a good team can play any schedule.
Right? Then if the conversation is that. I mean, but you know, when you got a team that's trying to get back to being relevant in the National Football League, you concentrate on the schedule so much. I mean, if you're a good football team, you look at the schedule and all right, let's play them. Doesn't matter, let's rock.
That's right.
You know, so.
And I actually think most players don't care much. I mean, I think you look at it. I mean, I remember when I played, you looked at
the West Coast games. You looked at you looked at two things: the West Coast trips, and then you looked at late season cold weather games.
I actually didn't care about either of those. The only thing I looked at was the road games where it's going to be really loud, and if it was going to be really loud with a really good defensive end. That's all I looked at. Other than that, it's football. Go play.
You didn't look at nightlife the night before?
There is no nightlife in the National Football League on the road.
Of course.
At least for the players.
Now you have
Joe Fortunato, right? Myself, and Tony Baselli, we're just, you know, we're just big-time restaurant experts.
We hit the town hard. Joe is a wild man. Around 1:30, watch out, because he...
Guess what? Two New York trips this year.
Yo, and Joe, watch out. New York, Joe.
We like a good restaurant.
I'm not sure the clothes will stay on for Joe. He's a wild
really?
Man. He's a wild man.
Anything goes in the city. Huh?
Anything goes for Joe Fortunato. New York or Philly, there's no telling where Joe's going to end up. There's several times we have to pick him up around 4 or 5 in the morning and get him to the stadium.
Wow. How about that? Other big news this week for the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew will return on Tuesday for a press conference. He'll sign a one-day contract as a Jaguar and retire officially from the league. We'll have a live show on Tuesday about 10:40. It's 11 o'clock press conference, and we'll show it live on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, and that's good. That's the way it should be. I mean, great player. Kind of surprised that he's retiring. You know, I mean, he had what? You know, some obviously. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised that. And it always surprised me that running backs can just fall off the cliff. You know, because you know it's never every other position. It seems like there's a gradual decline. But with Maurice, you're like, how in the world can anybody just fall that quick in performance that fast? You know, but that's the nature of that's why you have all of these teams that have devalued the running back position and are so scared to pay running backs because of what's happened to Maurice Jones-Drew and what's happened to a lot of other guys in the past. But it's even though I know it happens and I've seen it happen, it still surprises me.
I just think that position. The injuries pile up.
Yeah, especially when you have foot injuries,
and
too.
And it goes fast. I mean, your production goes down, and age catches up, and it's hard to get back in shape. And I think when you get injured at that position at an older age, it's hard enough, no matter what position, to get back in shape after an injury. But I think it's just exponentially harder for the running back, and it shows up. Guys just disappear.
One of the great Jaguar players in history. You know, so, I mean, glad to have it happen, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of, I don't know, Maurice didn't exactly leave on good terms, but it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good.
Well, the last couple of years were a little shaky just overall.
Yeah, and to bring him back into the fold. And I know, and Maurice, you know, look, I'm sure he's grown up a lot and he's eaten a lot of humble pie over the last couple of years in Oakland, and sometimes that's what it takes. And so it's going to be good to have him back in Jacksonville and retire as a Jaguar because that's where he needs to be. He's not going to be back in Jacksonville, you know, living. But, I mean, it's going to be good to have him back and retire as a Jaguar.
Is he going on the wall?
I think that, yeah. Is he a shoe-in?
Is he the next one on the wall?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't either. I think he had probably a little bit of a break for a while. And you know, the next great player is Jimmy Smith.
Well, I mean, that's Jimmy, if you just ignore the off-the-field stuff, I mean, Jimmy should have been in already.
Without a doubt.
You know, and will Jimmy ever get into the pride of the Jaguars? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Jimmy has to get his life kind of together. But, you know, the other guy that, you know, we really haven't talked much about that's going to be in the conversation when he does retire is Rasheen Mathis. I mean, Rasheen Mathis is arguably...
Is he the greatest defensive player to ever play for the Jags?
You could make that argument. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, look at the impactful plays that Rasheen Mathis had and had the good pleasure of seeing Rasheen. He was actually participating in the Angelwood Charity Golf Tournament last week and saw Rasheen and talked to him. And, you know, it's always fun to watch players when they come in and kind of get to know them throughout their career, just like Fred Taylor. When Fred came in, he was so young and so immature. And to see them grow into men, you know, and to – to really kind of appreciate where they are. You know, Fred had that happen to him, but then also it's happened to Rasheen. And, you know, this is Rasheen's hometown. You know, this is his home, you know. So, and it was really good to see him, had a great conversation with him. He's got his kid. In fact, he was showing me video of his kid swinging a golf club already at a very young age, you know, and Rasheen's big into golfing now. And, you know, but he would be a guy, him and Maurice Jones-Drew are going to be in that conversation about do they deserve a place amongst the pride of the Jaguars.
I don't think he was the most impactful defensive player to ever play here, but I think he's the greatest defensive player.
Yeah, he's got the longevity. He's got the numbers. He's a hometown guy, you know, so I think that he would be deserving.
Yeah, I'd put him up there.
Join us a week from tonight for the 2015 Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions. Watch the draft on the world's largest video boards. Get autographs from current and former Jags players and enjoy some food from more than 30 of Jacksonville's best restaurants. Next Thursday, a week from tonight, here at Everbank Field from 6 to 10 p.m. Jags 365 members get in early at 5 o'clock. You'll need to register for a free ticket. Jaguars.com/draft party. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and best locations for all the Jags home games. Pick any 3 home games and choose from 5 different locations. Prices start at $99. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Single game tickets on sale now also after the release of the schedule earlier this week. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. And the phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get to some calls, guys. How about it? You ready?
Bring it on.
My favorite.
Isaiah in Wooster, Ohio, wants to talk about the draft tonight. What's up, Isaiah?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
Good. My first thing was, first was a free agent thing that's still going on. One of them I was thinking for to help Luke Jokel out, maybe like as a veteran presence, like behind him, maybe have sign him Jake Long. I know he's off the knee injury, but like, you know, somebody to learn from.
Let me answer that one real quick, and we'll get your second one.
Go for it.
I would not listen. Jake is a guy who had a nice career, but
he's under contract.
He's under contract for St. Louis, number one, but he's also been greatly injured, and even if he
wasn't he released.
If he was released, it was recently, and I'm not sure, but no. I've not heard that.
No, he's under contract.
But even if he was, I don't think I'd bring him in.
Okay, my second question was, there's the cornerback out of Oregon, Ifo Epgray-Olmo. He was projected in the top 10 with all mock drafts before his season-ending injury during the season.
Right.
What do you think he would bring if he actually was brought to the Jaguars?
Right,
like maybe second, third round.
And just real quick before I answer that, Jake Long was released March 9th from St. Louis.
Interesting. Hey, thanks for the call,
Isaiah. Appreciate it.
I didn't think he was released. I thought he was under contract. Interesting.
All right, thanks for the call.
To be honest with you, to give you just an impression on Jake Long, I don't think Jake Long is a great left tackle. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Left Tackle, but – I thought Jake Long had borderline feet to play the left tackle position. Yes, he's made Pro Bowls, but I thought that there were others that were better than him at left tackle spot. I thought he was a natural right tackle that, through hard work, fought his way to be able to be a pretty good left tackle, but I don't think he's an elite left tackle.
I thought no. I thought Jake was a good left tackle early in his career, and then injuries really sidetracked him, and I think he struggled at times. And in this last injury, I think it was just pretty much all she wrote. And I would not bring him in for the injury reasons more than anything.
Right. Now the corner position that he talked about.
Here's how you spell this guy's name. First name, I-F-O. Last name is hyphenated. E-K-P-R-E is the first name.
Yeah.
O-L-O-M-U.
Yeah, I mean, he's he's a
first team All American.
Mid round pick, right. Mid round pick, probably third round, somewhere in that range. To be honest with you, I don't think this team is even looking at the corner position.
No, I think that, I mean, if you're looking secondary at safety, you got to find a, looking at the free safety position. You're looking at some depth at linebacker and a Leo on defense. That's what you're looking for.
Running back, linebacker, defensive end, youth on defense. But I just – I don't see offensive lineman possibly
depth,
in the
depth
draft
the
for
line
depth.
Position.
But I don't see a corner getting drafted at all by this team this year.
They just signed Wisniewski for a little he's probably going to start, right?
You get a one-year deal. You're not a guaranteed starter. You're going to come in and you're going to compete. Now, is he probably going to start? Yeah, maybe, but let the competition begin. You know, Wisniewski's got experience playing guard and center. So, Zane Beatles didn't exactly have a stellar year last year. Brandon Leonard had a very good year at right guard. So, look, you take, you know, Bowanko and Wisniewski and Beatles, and you say, hey, guys.
I'd add one more name to that.
Okay.
Pazdor. I think it's those
Put them all in there.
Yep.
Okay, and say, let the best two win.
I agree.
Here you go, boys.
So, I'm not sure. I think Wisniewski has as good a chance to start as anyone else. I'm just not sure it's at center. It might be.
Could be left guard.
And maybe Bowanko could go to left guard.
He's got a little bit of an advantage just because of, you know, he's
the system.
He's been in the system with Greg Olsen.
Beatles wins the left guard position. I think it's – I'm with Jeff. Throw all four in there and find out who the best – who makes you the best at, as far as the five positions.
And he's coming back from an injury. He signed a one-year deal. He's a good player, You know, played a lot of games in Oakland. Got great bloodlines. His uncle, Steve, was a fantastic player. Fantastic player for the Raiders. Pro Bowl level player for a number of years.
Dirtiest player in the NFL.
He's definitely one of the ones you would put in a conversation. Now, he was nasty now.
Terrence on the north side talking draft. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, JP and Jeff and Tony. Hey, I got two comments and one question. Tony, congratulations on your son going to Florida State.
Thanks.
The second comment, the pride. I think the pride was created too soon. I think nobody should be out there right now because the team hadn't done anything yet.
All right, thanks, Terrence. Okay. Next. I mean, really, come on. First of all,
I agree, Terrence. I agree with you.
You're calling into a show with someone who's up there, and you're basically saying, hey, I don't think you should be up there. So guess what? I don't think we should listen to your call anymore. How about that? And turn down the radio. You don't need to hear yourself or me in 3D.
He's out of here. Terrence hung up on us. He hung up on you.
Good. I mean, first of all,
I agree, Terrence.
I don't care what you think, JP, number one. Number two, if you're going to call the show and take a shot at me, that's fine, but turn down your radio to do it so I don't have to hear it twice. This is why.
Terrence is a veteran caller.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Making a rookie mistake.
Come on,
Terrence.
I don't think that was a mistake, Jeffrey. This is Chris, I believe, in Lakeland. He wants to talk about Racine Mathis. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. It's not really a question about Racine Mathis, but when you brought him up, it reminded me of a question that I sent into the old Ask Vic column years ago. After watching a game, and he's running back an interception. He loses his balance along the sideline, and his dreads go out of bounds. And I just wanted to know what the ruling was. And I think Vic avoided the question because maybe he felt there was racial sensitivity involved. But I really want to know, what would be the ruling? Is that a part of your body going out of bounds? Or is it like if you had a towel on your belt?
Okay, well, I'll answer it this way.
If
it's your hair. It's your body. If it's out of bounds, you're out of bounds.
I don't know the answer.
That's all I wanted to know.
I'll answer for you. Congratulations. Thank you.
And congratulations, Tony. I'm sorry my Gators didn't get to your boy.
I appreciate that.
You thanked him before he said anything.
I knew what he was going to say.
How did you know that?
I'm a mind reader.
That's why you're on the wall.
Exactly. And first of all, can I say
Schwami tonight?
Can I say something else about
Terrence? I haven't said anything yet. Thank you.
One more thing. First of all, when he says his team hasn't done anything, was he not around for the two AFC title?
I don't know.
I mean, worst call ever.
Jerome, we'll get this last call. Jerome on the west side wants to talk wide receivers. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, how y'all doing this? How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing good.
It's good to talk to y'all. I like y'all show. I really do.
Thank you.
I just got a question. I feel like they're gonna put. We have a lot of hopes going into the season based on these receivers, Lee and Robinson, and neither one of them was really healthy last year. They, even though they showed promises at times and highlights at times, but I just, for y'all's opinion, do y'all really expect them to play all 16 games, which I know y'all expect, but do y'all think they will? Because that is a lot of trust, knowing that all we have Hearns, which was a good pickup undrafted, though. But, I mean...
No, that was beyond good. Now, that was great. You get an undrafted guy to come in and put the numbers up that he was able to put up. That is a great acquisition.
Then why does Dave want to address the slot so much? I mean,
see, and I disagree with Dave on that. You know, I think Marquise Lee would be a fantastic slot player.
I do too.
You know, so go and get a burner on the outside and then let Marquise Lee play in the slot. You know, so I have a different opinion on than Dave on that. But am I expecting them to play all 16 games, and do I think that they can play all 16 games? Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to minimize what Allen Robinson did. What Allen Robinson did was essentially without OTAs, without a training camp, and didn't start practicing until the regular season. Think about that for a minute. A rookie had no OTAs and no training camp because he was hurt during those periods of time. And he had no injury history now prior to what happened to him this past year. And to be able to come out and have the productivity – and to see the level of reliance that his quarterback places upon him, that's impressive. Now, Marquise Lee, very, very raw, still immature, but when he catches the ball and he's got the ball in his hands, he's at a different level than everybody else. And I'm talking he's at a level that makes you hold your breath. So can he, you know, become a player that you can count on every game? Maybe not, but I think you can count on Allen Hearns and Allen Robinson all day long, but you'd still like to have a veteran in the mix, and that's why they tried to get Greg Jennings.
Well, but I think the question coming into the draft is, and I'm big on Robinson, Lee, and I think Hearns was a steal. Are any of them a number one guy? And I think it's still too early.
Not right now.
I think it's still early, but if you are convinced that Amari Cooper or Kevin White are a number one bell cow guy, and this game, this league is about scoring points right now. I said it in crosstalk. The Seattle Seahawks were the only team really in football that won games because their defense carried them, stopped people.
And the best running back in the league.
So you have to have guys who can score. They got Julius Thomas. He is a scoring threat. He is a matchup nightmare. Who else on this offense right now going into this season? And Dave talked about, we need to add more weapons for Blake Bortles. Well, they added one.
But they tried to add two.
They tried to, but Jeff, could you see him going in the third pick?
It would not surprise me if they draft Amari Cooper.
Or Kevin White. I don't know which one's better. I mean, I think Kevin White maybe have more upside because of the freakish size and speed.
Bigger, right.
Yeah. I mean, he's
but look at the tape.
But the tape of how Amari Cooper runs routes and what he can do. So I think Amari Cooper's probably a little bit ahead of Kevin White right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans of the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Jaguars.com/tickets. Or you can call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick with
Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Got to mention, though, guys, Greg Jones will announce the Jaguars' second-round pick at the draft in New York.
It's actually in Chicago, but it's okay.
Wherever. City?
If he wants to be in New York, it's going to be have to be via, like, Skype.
Thank you. Also, the You Make the Pick contest winners have been announced for the Jaguars. And Seth Studer of Jacksonville will go from the North Deck here at Everbank Field. He'll do the fourth and fifth round picks announcements. And George Bedford from Shepherd's Bush in London will do the sixth and seventh round picks from a TV studio.
Outstanding.
In London. So congratulations to those two.
Stuff.
So a lot of people saying a lot of names.
The NFL is genius at their marketing of getting the fans included. And I just hope for any of those fans that we do not pick the Oregon cornerback, because if you have to say that name,
good luck.
I remember I went up to New York to do.
But you know, we can do, you know, just spell it out phonetically.
I don't.
That'll work.
Go try to do that one.
Good luck. Let's see you do it. Come on, go ahead.
I called
somebody. Give it to me.
Well, no, you just had it up, didn't you?
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm not. What does that mean? I mean, just because I have it up doesn't mean I know how to pronounce
it.
We'll try.
Well, phonetically, go ahead. It should be that easy.
Take a shot.
No, I'm saying if you could spell it phonetically. Do you know what spell phonetically means?
What does it say? No, say his name.
No, what he's saying, JP, he's saying someone say it correctly and then you spell it out like it sounds.
Do you not understand that?
No, I don't understand.
Are you serious?
No, I got you.
I just want to see you try to say
it. Now, where did you get your education at again?
Alabama. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Jeez.
Say it.
The
Ekpre Olomu is his last name. So Ifo Ekpre Olomu.
Sounds good to me. I don't know the difference. I don't know.
I remember when I called the draft one of the picks years ago for the team.
Yeah, what year was that?
I don't know.
You don't remember who you said?
No idea. I don't even know who I said. But all I remember is
a memorable experience for you.
It was fun. New York was great. All I remember is thinking the entire time is like, please do not get me like some difficult names. So sometimes like the Samoan names are like really like the tight end Halahula Hamia, whatever his name is, and I just thought, here I'm going to be on national television getting up to give the pick and not be able to and just butcher the poor guy's name. That's all I cared about. I didn't care who we picked. I don't remember who it was. I just wanted an easy name, like Joe Smith Jaguars. Went perfect.
Of course, the draft
Blake
luncheon.
Bortles is a good one. Easy, Jaguars.
Yeah. Speaking of Blake Bortles, he spoke to the media on Tuesday and sat down in a press conference room. Gus Bradley spoke. He spoke. Wisniewski was there, Julius Thomas. But Bortles kind of explained his offseason a little more in detail. And he worked with throwing guru Tom House, who's a major league pitcher and a USC guy. Right. But he's worked a lot with baseball pitchers on mechanics.
Tom Brady's coach.
Now quarterbacks,
hold on.
Too.
Right? Can we just put the pause button just for a minute there? Okay.
Pause.
Okay, I have done my research, and I have the phonetic spelling for this guy at Oregon's name.
We really didn't want to get into this.
This is great.
We did not have to go this far.
But that's okay.
Okay. Okay, phonetic spelling. Okay, EE-FO. Can you pronounce that?
EFO.
Okay, EFO. Okay. The last name, Ekpre Olomu. Ekpre Olomu.
Ekpre Olomu.
Ekpre Olomu. So Ifo Ekpre Olomu.
I would.
So you were wrong.
No, I went to the phonetic spelling and pronunciation guide. Yes, but I went to the phonetic spelling and the pronunciation guide with the Oregon Ducks roster and got it.
But my question is this, Jeff. Would you want to say that on national television as the pick?
Yeah, if I had the Ifo Ekpre Olomu.
I've heard you try to do this on the radio with names like this, and you don't want to.
I write it down phonetically, though.
I don't care how you write that down. I've listened.
On my cheat sheet, I would have, instead of it spelled out the way that it's really spelled, I would have the phonetic spelling in the name chart.
I'd still like to see it.
See, now, I'm just trying to explain this for JP, so it's future broadcasting.
Thank you,
okay?
Yes.
EE-FO, okay, is a different spelling than IFO.
Yes, it is.
Okay, EE-FO is the phonetic E-fo. Spelling.
So I want to do me a favor real quick, just since we're here
that.
Now. And
sure.
We'll get back
my first
to
rodeo.
The,
yes.
We'll go back to the play button, whatever we were talking about before. I want you to act like the Jaguars, you're in Chicago, and the Jaguars just picked this gentleman.
You're wearing a camouflage tuxedo.
With the second round pick in the 2015 draft, the Jaguars select corner from Oregon, Ifo Ekpre Olomu.
That's not bad.
Well, hey, there you go. Well done.
That's the phonetic cheat sheet.
Let's go back to what we were talking about.
Back Bortles.
We're playing again. Bortles. He said that his mechanics deteriorated over the season last year. And
well,
that's
he said his mechanics
normal.
Deteriorated and his belly got bigger.
He said he was kind of fat at the end of the year. That's what he said. That was his quote. So
I'm
like
kind of fat all the time.
But his shoulder deteriorated just because of some mechanics. He can't really work as much of the mechanics when you're trying to learn the offense and get the team through the season.
We knew all that.
We already said all that.
Everybody knew
all
that.
We said that all. I don't know if you listened to the radio broadcast, but we mentioned that several times.
I was here, yeah. I listened.
Okay, so go on to the next point then.
The point is he's working with Tom House.
But that's and I love that. You know, because I remember at the end of the season, we talked about you hope that when the offseason rolls around, and we talked it at the end of the season, that he needs to start making some of the routine things look routine and
easy throws, easy.
Absolutely. And in order to get that, you can't wait until you show up for the offseason activities in April. You know, you got to take advantage of your time in January, February, March, and get out of house counseling slash coaching, whatever it is for the quarterback, whatever you want to call it. And going to Tom Brady's coach, what is it, California? It's a great
Los Angeles, yeah.
And here's the best part about it is I don't care who he goes and sees, okay? But to me, the real key is that here's a guy that – and it's not like the Jaguars sign him up to go there. He has to do this on his own.
He's got to pay for it, too.
Okay, but he's got to pay for it. He's got to go do it on his own. To have a quarterback that recognizes his weaknesses and then as soon as the offseason begins, starts having things planned to help him improve and to get better – and to realize that he has things to work on and then take the initiative to do that. That's the difference between a quarterback that has a chance to be good and a guy that doesn't have a chance at all, is recognize it and be willing to work at your craft. And I appreciate that he's done all that. I think it's fantastic.
So how much of the mechanic stuff is – I guess my question is, does it matter that much?
No, he was just bored and had nothing else
not
to
what
do. It matters.
Absolutely.
Because
if it didn't, let me just put it to you this way.
When did this start happening, I guess?
If it didn't matter that much, then why does Tom Brady, after how many Super Bowls he got now?
Four.
After four Super Bowls, why does he continue to go and see this guy in the offseason to continue to want to get better and to work on his own mechanics?
Right.
I mean, I think that ought to give you all the information you need about how important it is that quarterbacks, just like golfers, mm-hmm. you know, go back to the basics and work on the basics and the fundamentals so that they can continue to be able to perform at a high level.
Well, and because you don't just drop back and throw the ball and just throw it down the field. Hey, Howard, we all grew up in the backyard throwing. We're asking a quarterback to drop back with pressure in traffic and throw it through a very tight window. And to do that, your whole body has to be in sync. It actually starts with your footwork. And we talked about this from the start of the rookie minicamp last year all the way through. Blake's footwork was not real good. The other thing, he was all arm. He threw with all his arm. He didn't use his body. It's one of the things he talked about that Tom House worked with, sinking the entire body. It's actually how you become more accurate. You watch the great quarterbacks, the great throwers. They use their whole body. That's why a guy like Drew Brees, who also works with Tom House, after rotator cuff surgery, is able to still be very accurate, very efficient, because his mechanics are so sound. He uses his whole body to throw the ball. And
here's the other thing, too.
That's what Blake had to learn to do, sync everything up and be able to do it when you're in traffic. So your feet take you where you're going to throw the ball. The foundation of the quarterback is the feet, and he had to work on that.
You know, the other thing to add to that, too, is that If you've got all the great footwork in the world, you still have to be able to take another step in another area. And that's the mental understanding of the game.
Oh, sure. It's a whole other deal.
You know, because when you drop back, you can have great footwork, but your feet don't start to go where they need to go until you're anticipating throws and anticipating coverages and anticipating timing. So the footwork will also take a big step when he starts to gain a better understanding of NFL defenses, the offensive philosophy. You know, I think that, you know, great to go and get some work on mechanics, and then also number two, to get coaching and understanding, and hopefully he watched film, which, you know, he said he's been doing some of that stuff, in the offseason to get a better understanding of NFL defenses and anticipating stuff. Now he's got the playbook. Now he can start kind of applying some of that stuff. It's all going to work together. But I just love his attitude. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing with a quarterback. I mean, I've been around quarterbacks that, look, when the season was over, they showed back up when they had to, and then that's when they started to go to work. And to have a young guy that's taking the initiative, that he knows that he has to do things to get better, I think fans ought to appreciate that and ought to be excited about that because it's going to give him a chance.
Trivia fact about Tom House, by the way. I bet you, I don't know, you might know this, Tony.
You're yeah, go ahead.
Guy. He caught Hank Aaron's 715th home run in the bullpen. He was in the bullpen at Fulton County Stadium and ran really? It into home plate and gave it to him.
That's pretty cool.
How about that? Prime Sport, the leading global sports travel and event management company offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jags have developed the first premium business program for local businesses and includes four principles: consulting, a business hospitality playbook, events and experiences, and exposure and recognition. Get your business in the black at JaguarsBlack.com. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Final few moments here. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli, JP Shadrick. It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League, presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Federal District Court Judge Anita Brody gave final approval to the settlement of the lawsuit brought by more than 5,000 former players accusing the league of hiding dangers of concussions. It is official now that the settlement provides payments of up to $5 million for severe disorders, medical monitoring, and a few other things in there as well. But it's finally over.
Yeah, and it's going to be good to get it passed. And, you know, and I appreciate kind of what that has been able to do to kind of bring an awareness level in football overall to the importance of being aware, you know, and head trauma and trying to prevent it and how to treat, you know, not only the NFL players but also the young athletes that are playing the game at the collegiate level, the high school level, and even the little league level. And I think that's been a good thing, you know. And going forward, I think that's the most positive thing that's maybe come out of that is the attention that that has garnered and some of the changes that have come from that attention. That's a great thing.
You guys had to change teaching methods in the high school level, right, Tony? A little bit?
I think it's also just the awareness. I mean, now if a kid complains of his head hurting or a headache or any thought of a concussion, he's done. I remember a game last year, my second son got played linebacker, got dinged a little bit, came off the field, and he wanted to go back in, and the doctor wouldn't let him. And he's complaining to me and saying, "Dad, I want to play." I said, "It's out of my hands, son. I mean, I have no say in what."
And that's
you,
the great thing.
That's right. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of enjoyed it as a dad because as a player, I'd have gone back in too. And I actually respected him wanting to play the game. And I didn't, because I'd be afraid, you know, what would I do? I mean, because I'd look at him and say, "Well, you seem fine. You want to play? Go play."
Yeah.
But that's what I think. That is a positive what the league has done in concussion awareness. I wish it could have happened without all the lawsuits and how it was all handled. I did not enjoy how either side handled it. I think the NFL should have been proactive on the front end. I think they could have. I think at times the NFL reacts out of fear of perception, and that bothers me. And I didn't like how the lawsuits were handled because. So 5,000 players. I was not one of them. I don't think Jeff was one of them.
No.
I highly doubt that 5,000 guys had issues.
But there's, you know, the thing is of it is that, you know, it's not just 5,000 guys that are going to get help. I mean, some guys are. It's real. You know. Some
oh, it
guys
is.
Need
it
help.
Is real. 100%.
You know, but this is, you know, this is for all players. You know, it's not just the 5,000 that were named plaintiffs or that were on all these different lawsuits. So. Good to have it behind the league and behind the game. But good and also great that the changes have been made, the attention and everything else.
I do, and I'm probably in the minority here. I think some of the changes to the rules of the in the NFL, I don't think are good. I don't think it's good for the game.
Like what?
I don't. I think the way the game. Listen, football's a dangerous sport, and if you are a defensive player and you hit somebody with a legal tackle with your head up and are hitting them with your shoulder pads and it hits the guy in the head as he's lowering his – that's football. I don't think that's a penalty. And we're so afraid now, and it's so sensitive that it changes the way the game is called.
But I also,
just call it back how it should have been called.
Yeah, but I also appreciate the reason why.
But if you lead with the helmet, it's a penalty. But if you do a good tackle and you happen to hit a guy in the head because he lowers his head, that's not a penalty. That's a football
play. No, but sometimes,
play.
You know, I think the NFL has a responsibility to kind of set the tempo here. And sometimes there needs to be an overreaction to have a reaction.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
I don't like the overreaction. Yeah. I think I don't like
– Because it is an overreaction. I understand what you're saying, but at the same token that sometimes you need to have that to get – the culture or, you know, certain techniques out of the game.
And I that's a fair point. I guess the whole lawsuit thing, whether it's the concussions or, you know, the, you know, injuries or, you know, you have the drug, people saying they're giving drugs illegally. We all signed up to play the game, and we knew it was a dangerous game. And, Jeff, the day you started playing football in the NFL and probably in college, you knew your body would never be the same.
No, but I was 21, 22.
No, okay, let me ask you a question.
I could, you know, run through brick walls.
But let me ask you a question. If you had to do it all over again, would you have done it any different? Would you have still played the game of football?
I probably would have done some things differently.
No, but I'm talking about as far as playing football.
Oh, absolutely, I'd still play.
Okay, so would I.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's why.
But, you know.
I'm in the minority. Listen, I think most people disagree with me.
With time, you like to think comes wisdom, you certainly would have done things a little bit differently.
But not playing the game. I wouldn't have played the game any different.
Tomorrow, one of the last chances to hear from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. The pre-draft media luncheon is tomorrow. What do you expect to hear quickly?
Not much.
Nothing at all. I can give you a preview of it right now.
I will say this. They have been, if there's any club that has been very transparent, it's been this organization, and it's not like you go there to get absolutely nothing.
Oh, they were so transparent last year. Everyone knew that Blake
you're not
going to
know who they're
the
going to draft, but you're going to get honest opinions.
All the post coverage on Jaguars.com tomorrow. For Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, and Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. No, next week is a draft show.
We'll see us, not you.
Thursday on Jaguars Radio.